Amen. Well, this morning we are back in the book of Mark, believe it or not. It's been a while. And as you know, we're not speeding along there. It will still take some time to get through. But as we've been going through the book of Mark, it is a book which really is telling us the identity of Christ. And so as we look at this, I just want to give you a little bit, going backwards a little bit, of what we have been looking at in chapter 6. Now, most of you probably know that when the Bible was written and Mark wrote his book, he didn't go, okay, chapter 1 and verse 1, and then began to write and said, I think that's enough, and now I'm going to end here, and then I'm going to do chapter 2. He just wrote this continuous letter, and he just wrote one story after another story, describing, telling, and giving us a picture, and it's all about a picture of who Jesus is, and give us an identity. Who is this Jesus? And so that's what this is all about. And so what we have been previously looking at is in verses 1 through 6, we talked about how Jesus was rejected in Nazareth. And then in 7 through 13, Jesus sends out the 12 on a missions trip. And 14 to 29, we are told the story of John the Baptist. And so today we come to a point where Jesus is feeding the 5,000. And I want to look at this from the standpoint of Jesus and him showing this great compassion. And I can kind of relate to this. The disciples were out busy and they were ministering and doing a lot of work and a lot of things, and they're tired, they're exhausted, and Jesus says, hey, let's get away, and we're going to take a look at that in a moment. And so they do. They get into a boat and off they go, and as they get to the shore, here is a group of people. I remember a week that I had not here in another church. Seriously, it was. And it was one of those weeks. It just seemed like one thing after another phone call, another visit, and it just was busy, busy, busy. And so it was my Thursday. Thursday's my day of writing my message, and I'm sitting in my office, and I'm writing my message, just getting going. You know, you're just getting into the groove of things, and I see this lady walking towards the church or across the parking lot. And in my mind, I thought, I can get up and I can lock the door real quick. And the Holy Spirit said, no, let her come in. And so she did. And this dear lady, wonderful lady, in her own right, but was a lady who had gone through a lot in her life. And whenever she came into my office, it would be a long time, and she would talk nonstop, and I really wouldn't know what she was trying to say as she was talking. And I remember that as she came in that day, it was like, oh, I don't know if I have much to give her. And she keeps talking and talking and talking. And I, at one point I'm thinking, okay, how can I just get her to leave? What can I say? And the Lord says, no, you need to listen to her. And as I did, I began to go back in my mind about her story. And it's a terrible story. Terrible story of incredible abuse that she went through with her husband. I will not tell you the details. It was bad. And as I listened to her, I said, Lord, I need to see her as you see her. And I need compassion for her as you have compassion for her. And so in the midst of everything that was going on, it was only God who gave me this compassion to see her as she was. And so as I read this story, that's what came to my mind as I'm reading this. So I'm thinking, these guys are exhausted. The story really picks up. The beheading of John the Baptist is kind of this interlude that is there. And then we get in the verse, first part of this verse, it says that Jesus called the apostles together. And he says, come here, I want to talk to you. Because they've been out ministering, they've been out serving. And it says that he says to them, you need rest. And so they get into a boat to go find rest. And when they get to the shore, this group of people anticipated where they were going to land. And here is this crowd of people that were there. So here's a few things that I want us to look at as we look at this identity of Christ and this story. So first of all, Jesus says to them, come away. Come away. Come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest a while. And he says to them, and first it says, come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest a while. And in verse 32, he says, they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. And so Jesus, the call is to be with Jesus. That's what he's saying. He's saying, come with me. If you want to find rest, come to me and find rest. So the call is to be with him. And in this, he says to them twice, or it says in there, to come away to a desolate place, find rest, and they go. Jesus understands our need to have rest. Jesus, there are about nine accounts in the Gospels where Jesus pulled away and he found rest. The rest of the Father. And I don't want us to miss this because the first prerequisite of being a disciple of Jesus is being with him. That's the first thing. The first call is to be with him. It's only about the mission for Jesus. It's not just about the mission for Jesus, excuse me, but it's also about being with him. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in the mission and not be with him. And that means that you and I, and you're going to hear this time and time again from me, we have to find a slowed down pace of life. It takes decisions on our part to say, I'm not going to do this. And I am a guy that I like to say yes to everything. You phone me up and you say, hey, Scott, you want to? Yeah. Hey, Scott, you bet. Nope, I'm here. I mean, if it's an adventure, if it is fun, I am in. I have the fear of missing out. FOMO, right? I have FOMO, but I need to have JOMO. You know what that is? Joy of missing out. There's a fear of missing out, but I need to have the joy of missing out. Because it's in this that I have this space, creating this space to be able to be with Jesus. JOMO is not a bad thing. You should try it. I have to practice that because I am certainly a mojo. I'm a guy. I have the fear of missing out. I need to be a mojo guy. So this word where it talks about this desolated place. Let me just get my bearings here on my notes. Okay. So what I like about this is that it says that the crowd anticipated. Like they saw where Jesus is going to be, and this Greek word is like they figured it out. And so Jesus takes off in the boat, and they're rowing, and that's their time they get is in this boat. And the crowd is looking, and they're going, I think we know where Jesus is going to be. And they all run that way to get there, and they anticipate. And so this is where it gets interesting, because the only time they have is when it gets from the time from point A to point B. And what happens next is Jesus gets out of the boat, and it says when he looks at the crowd that he had compassion, verse 34, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. This Greek word for compassion that is used, it's only used to describe Jesus in the New Testament. There's other words for compassion, but this particular word for compassion is only used to describe Jesus. He had compassion on them. Exhausted as he was, he looked at them and he saw this crowd, and it was compassion, not inconvenience. We'll talk a little bit about that here, because Jesus sees the crowd not as an inconvenience, but an opportunity. See, compassion looks at somebody and sees this opportunity that is there and not an inconvenience. And many times in our lives, situations and especially people can bring inconveniences to what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. No? Yes? All right, just seeing if you're with me still, all right? It is true. People can bring inconvenience to us because of what they want or to demand or what we want and we're not getting, and this will reduce our compassion. But Jesus looks at them not as an inconvenience, but an opportunity. Here he is challenged by those that have sought their way to be with him. I read a story about an ER nurse, and she'd been working all night. It's about time for her to get off from her shift, and an emergency erupts, and the paramedics bring in a young lady who was not doing well, and she tried to end her life with a drug overdose. And so the nurse was with the mother getting some more information, and she was just writing down the information and just asking one question after another. And she's writing down, and she's got her head down, and she writes all the information down. She gets up to take the paper to where it needs to go next. And as she begins to deliver that paper there, the Holy Spirit said to her, "You didn't even look at her." And this woman is just exhausted. It's at the end of a very busy ER shift. And as she sets that piece of paper down, the Holy Spirit again said to her, "You didn't even look at her." And so as she went back to the woman, under this great conviction that this woman needed more than just her asking questions, she sat down next to this woman and she put her hand on this woman's hands, and she said, "I can see that this is difficult. Do you want to talk?" And this woman begins to pour out her heart with these great tears of saying that she's a single mom. She's been raising her daughter. Her daughter's been going through a terrible rebellious time. She's been trying to do all that she can, but it's come to this. And the woman said a few more words of compassion and kindness and gentleness to her, and she gets up to leave, and the woman grabs her hand, and she says to the nurse, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." See, at first, this ER nurse saw this woman as an inconvenience to the ending of her shift. But the Holy Spirit said, "No, she's not an inconvenience. She's an opportunity. An opportunity for you just to be a listening ear to a single mom that has nobody else to share with at this time who's worried about her daughter." The most challenging moments to show compassion are often when we are tired and inconvenienced. That is sometimes the hardest time for us to show compassion, is when we are tired and inconvenienced. Yet I believe that these moments are the greatest God moments that we could experience in our day. When we can just step back for a moment in this feeling of inconvenience, and we're tired, and we can just simply say, "God, what are you doing? What are you up to?" So just take a moment and think back to your week. Because this coming week, you get to try something. But what about this last week? Were you ever in a situation where you felt inconvenienced? I'm not asking for anybody to share right now. Just saying, all right? Not even asking you to raise your hand. Thank you, Ian. I'm trying to make this a little practical for you. Where did you step out of the boat onto the shore and you were met with inconvenience? Maybe when you were driving. Maybe when you were at the grocery store. Maybe when you're getting gas. You know that person that can't quite get it right just to get their card in and pump gas and you need to get going? Where were you? Maybe it was at school. Where were you inconvenienced this week and you stepped out of the boat and onto the shore? Where were you inconvenienced? Was it an opportunity? How did you react? How could you have reacted? And I know you're saying, but he's Jesus. Come on. What do you expect? Right? But that's the whole point of where we see in the Bible, it's about knowing him. It's about being with him so we can be like him. So we have these opportunities that God puts in front of us to be able to show compassion, his compassion. This whole situation elicits Jesus' compassion. What is it? What is it that he sees that elicits his compassion? It's this. He says they are leaderless. Look here, he says they're sheep without a shepherd. They're sheep without a shepherd. They have no leader. And if you think back to the story of what we've already experienced, the synagogue, the leaders in the synagogue, the religious leaders, they weren't leading. They weren't really leading the people to this relationship with God. It was a burden, heavy burden they were putting on the people. And we know that Herod wasn't leading. He was beheading people. He was more concerned about his reputation with people than he was with doing the right thing because he didn't really want to behead John the Baptist, but he felt he was in a place that if he didn't, he was gonna lose respect. So he had to do this. He wasn't leading. These people Jesus saw were a group of people who were without a leader. And his heart was broken for this because he knows that you and I need to be led. We need to be led. Like Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. Like Joseph leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. And Jesus is leading us into the kingdom of God. Jesus, it's interesting, we are told that he teaches them. His response is he has this compassion, and what does he do? He teaches them. He's feeding them. He's feeding their soul. He sees their soul is lacking. You know, we don't know what he taught. We have no idea what he taught. What we do know is the one who teaches them. That's what is at interest here. That is the part. Jesus is teaching. I say this often. You're going to get tired of me saying it, but God is always up to something, right? He's always up to something. And it's our job to understand what that is and to be part of it. God is always teaching us something because he has compassion. He has compassion. And so Jesus feeds their soul. He feeds their soul. as he teaches them. You know, our soul, our inner being, it longs to understand who we are and why we are here. We need to be led. His compassion moved him to give him of himself for the sake of others, because he knew what they needed. His compassion was driven by the love of the Father. The love of the Father, that the Father has this love for the world, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He feeds their soul. The longing, the hunger they had to be led. Jesus' compassion saw beyond the inconvenience. He, as they got close to the shore, he could have said to the disciples, hey, let's go to another spot. Let's just go around here. But he didn't. He went to the shore. And when we look only at the inconvenience people add to our lives, it can often get in the way of us expressing Jesus' compassion. But when we recognize our sin as an inconvenience that did not stop God's compassion, we are more likely to express compassion to others. Did you catch that? When we recognize our sin as an inconvenience that did not stop God from showing his compassion, then we are more likely to express compassion to others. That is dying to self. But the story doesn't stop there, does it? I mean, that's the first part of the story. The first part of the story is Jesus is compelled by the compassion for the people because he sees what they need. And when we can be compelled by the compassion of Christ for the people around us, when we can see them not as inconveniences but as opportunities, we then can respond the way that God wants us to respond. But Jesus also extends compassion to their stomachs. They've been there for a long time. He's been teaching them. They've been following him. It could be that they've been following him for several days, and they brought food along with them. But now they get to a point where all their food is gone, and the disciples come, and they recognize there's a crisis happening. The crisis is that here's a group of people that need to be fed, and they need to go away and feed them because they don't have enough food for them. But that's also not really realistic either, because they're going to go into the town and the countryside. 5,000 men, it says. So you could maybe double that. That's a large crowd. That's a huge following. And how do you get that mass out there to eat? So this is a real problem. And so the disciples come and say, Jesus, there's a crisis happening here. We need to send them away. And I think about sometimes that's what happens when I'm in a situation where I'm feeling inconvenience. I want somebody else to deal with it. I see somebody that's in need, and it's like, well, we've got government assistance for that. Or I see somebody that has a problem, I think, well, somebody will take care of that. There's a little Jesus humor here, because Jesus says to him, feed them. I have to laugh at that. You know, thousands of people, and Jesus looks at him and says, you feed them. And they go, come on. Like, do you know how much money it's going to take to go do that? Where are we going to find that? And so their response is, we don't have enough. But I love Jesus' response. What does he say? What do we have? What do we have? I think about, again, the people that I encounter, and I think, I don't have enough. I think about that lady who came to my office, and I think, I don't have enough. And Jesus isn't asking, do I have enough? He says, what do you have? And let me make it enough. Let me take what you have and let me make it enough for you. You're right. We don't have the compassion we need. We don't have the love we need. We don't have the patience we need. But he has it all. Because every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is at our service as we seek him for it. Many times I will look at what I don't have. But I need to begin to look at what I have and believe it's enough for Jesus to do with whatever he needs to do with it. You know, it's easy to look and say, I can't. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. But that's not what Jesus is asking. He's just saying, what do you have? And give it to me and watch me multiply it. Watch me multiply it. Do we have that faith that he will multiply what he has given us? That's the challenge, I think, here. That's the challenge. So let me give you a bit of a summary here. And that is this: Jesus' compassion was expressed by feeding both the spiritual needs through teaching and their practical needs by providing food. And this is every day that God is in our lives that we can look and say, God, how will you show us how you're going to spiritually and practically meet the needs around us? And what role do I play in that? So here's what I want to do for spiritual practice. This sheet is on the back. You can grab it. But this is what I would suggest as I bring the boat back in to shore. I would suggest this. I would suggest praying. Praying. And asking this and saying, Lord, I pause this morning and I ask you to reveal my heart to the people around me. Excuse me. And reveal where my heart is hardened towards certain people or situations where I lack your compassion. Begin to renovate that portion of my heart to reflect you. I would say that if you can give this something within your own space and time, that you would pray this prayer in the morning, it's going to open up your heart and your mind to what God has for you. How do we make any changes? We make changes as we bring it before God. And I'm not making this change so that I can be a good person. I'm making this change so I can be the hands and feet of God. Here's then, I think, the action part. The places where our hearts will be exposed to the lack of compassion is where we are feeling inconvenience. So keep track this week of the times you feel inconvenient. So that's the action. So you can pray this, but now I would challenge you to keep track of it. So as you're out and about, consider, why am I agitated? I'm standing in the line, in the grocery line. Why am I agitated right now? Probably because you're feeling inconvenience, because the person in front of you, either the person checking out the person isn't going fast enough, or the person is, whatever it is, they're not, the customer's not. However it is, keep track of it. And then I try these four things. Pray this prayer about the person that's creating inconvenience. Jesus, help me to see that person as an image bearer of God. So in your situation, you're feeling inconvenient. You've got to change the mind because you see them as being not good. But you pray and say, God, I want to see them as an image bearer of you. That's who they are. Not an inconvenience, but an image bearer. Repeat it as many times as you need to. Secondly, if you want to challenge yourself, then pray, Lord, is there an element of compassion you want me to show right now? Is there an element of compassion you want me to show right now? Then, keep track of those moments. a little check mark, a tally. Have a piece of paper, check, just put a mark on a piece of paper or something on your phone and keep track of it. And then if you want to elevate it, then invite a friend to be part of your journey. Talk about it. How'd it go? How'd it go? It's all good that you sit here and listen to me. Thank you very much. But what are we going to do with it? Why do we have this scripture here? God wants us to do something with it. So I give you this challenge. Pray. Pray for those areas that are hard and that you need his compassion. And then secondly, keep track of it. Be aware of it. And then what are you going to do about it when you're feeling inconvenient? Explore it. Understand it. Okay? Sound good? You're with me still? I am hungry. I want some soup. So we're just going to, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song, we're going to end our service, and then we're going to eat soup. Sound good? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you that your heart for us is that we would follow after you, that we would know you, that we would be with you. Lord, forgive us in those moments and the times, even this last week, where we felt inconvenienced. Maybe it was our spouse, our children, our parents. Maybe it was a fellow student. But Lord, we felt inconvenienced. And we missed, Lord, the opportunity to show compassion, to be your hands and feet, to express your love. And so God, as we move forward this week, may we just take it a day at a time before you, O Lord, just to be able to seek you, your compassion, to be able to see people as you see them, to be able to have your heart. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.